Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to the Selling Digital Podcast. My name is Yetsia, your host, creator of OnlineTemplateShop.com. Today, I bring to you episode number 2 on what I'm calling the Not So Shiny series. A series in which we talk about the not so shiny things that happen in the background in our businesses. We all have them. We all go through these things. And I am bringing some very brave people to the podcast to share with me and with you those not so shiny things in their businesses. Last week's episode will be linked in the description. And in this episode, I am chatting with Kimberly Costa. She is the host of the Creative Spark Summit, which just wrapped up its 5th edition. She has been running this summit for the past 2.5 years. I have been a speaker in, I think, 4 out of the 5 summits, and I'm always very impressed in general on how she runs this summit, how it goes so smoothly, both as a speaker and as an attendee. So I brought her to the podcast so I can dig a little bit and find those things that are not so shiny about running summits. If you've ever attended a summit or you've been a speaker, or maybe you are thinking about running a summit, this is a very good episode because she shared so much with me. First, we get started talking about how in the midst of planning the first summit, she didn't even think there was going to be a second summit because she got so overwhelmed and it was very hard. There was so much that she needed to learn about systems and how to run the summit smoothly. And she even shares some not so great feedback that she got after that first summit. I also ask her how she keeps finding new speakers and how she decides who gets to come back to other summits that she is running, which I find very interesting because I think it's hard to get, 20 people, 20 busy business owners to coincide in one place at the same time and deliver really good presentations. We also talk about how she narrowed down to focus on digital products. So how it changed from summit number 1 to summit number 5, going from a mix of printable products, physical products, and digital products, and how her focus is now digital products because that's what the attendees were asking for. So she shares with us how she got to that decision. And just because I'm nosy, I had to ask her, is it worth it for her in terms of profit and the money she makes while running these summits and also the audience growth that comes from a summit? Because I think that's what we hear the most about. I think the basic promise from running a summit is that you get to grow your audience if you are the host and also if you are a speaker at a summit. So I had to ask her, is it true? Is it true that you make money from the summit and you also get to grow your audience from an event like this? On that same note, I asked her if she got any pushback on the pricing of the VIP passes for the summit, because one thing that she does, and she does it very well, her summit, if you want to buy the VIP passes, they're not cheap compared to other summits in our own niche. So we get to talk all about that. She explained why she decided to charge a little bit more than other summit hosts and how that has worked out for her in terms of bringing into the summit the right people to grow her audience and to keep growing her business. I'm going to stop talking now. Make sure to go check the description box where I'm going to leave a bunch of links to go learn more about Kim and her business, and as well a link to last week's episode, which was episode number 1 in this series. Let's get started. So you just wrapped up your summit. This was number five, right? The fifth summit in the past, what, 2 years, 2.5 years?
Yeah, 2.5 now. This I think we started in 2022, April 2022.
So did you ever think you were gonna get to number five?
Girl, I didn't think I was gonna get to number one. Because I remember very clearly a friend of mine saying, "Oh, I'm gonna run a summit, and it's really interesting, and I'm doing this course on it, and you should consider running a summit." And I was like, "What? No way, ever, ever, ever." And I know if anybody knows me, they know because I've told this story. It's really funny because I remember that day when I said to her, "She's crazy. Like, I would never do that." And fast forward now, this is the fifth one, which is insane.
It totally is. My brain does not work that way. Like, I could never organize an event of that level at all. My brain just does not work like that. So do you see a lot of the same people coming back in terms of the speakers and even the people attending the summit?
Luckily, yes. The speakers are obviously one side. I typically try to search. I spend a lot of time searching for speakers. Because I usually have a plan of what I want to speak about. And I try to have some kind of theme around what I want to talk about. Usually, our very first one was specifically just being creative. But ever since we started, the second one that we did was a holiday themed one, and we talked about creating products for the holidays. Ever since that, after that third one, we've been doing digital products ever since. And I've asked, because one of the things that I do a lot is I have a survey after the summit. I survey my audience a lot. And I'm like, what do you want to learn? What do you want to do? Do you still want to do digital product design? Every single time, people are like, we want to do digital product design. Like, that's what they want to do. And so what ends up happening is you could fall into the trap of always just having the same speakers. So I try to go through and think about the topics that I want to talk about. And again, that comes from feedback. I always ask everybody, what do you want to learn about? What do you want to know? And then I try to find fresh faces to bring in. So I try to have like a sprinkling of the same, favorite speakers, to call it something, and then like some new faces, because I think both are important. There's some people that you know that you can trust. They're really good, like you, at teaching and your products, the quality of your work. So that's really good to have returning speakers that are like that. And then it's really nice to bring in fresh new faces that are gonna that then become like nice, iconic people that you can continue to come back to.
That's something
And
that I saw
then,
in your summit this time around, that I saw a lot of even people that I've never heard of before. And to me, it sent me down a rabbit hole of Googling them, of
right.
looking at their offers, looking at what they do, and being like, oh my God, there's so many people out there that we don't even know exist,
Yeah.
basically. So that was
There's
really
a lot
fun.
of people that aren't necessarily teaching, or that have offers that you can buy afterward. So sometimes I struggle with that because obviously, the summit is supposed to do, a certain number of things, but I also recognize it specifically with design. There are people that are really good at design and maybe they don't have like a setup where they're teaching or selling products or anything yet. But like I've, brought people in that are really just designers or just illustrators or whatever, and then they see the potential in teaching people what they're good at. And so it'll turn them into like another income stream for them as well, which is really like good for them also. So it does a lot of things, I think.
Exactly. So moving to the not so shiny parts of the summit, I know you had mentioned something about getting both really good feedback from the people attending and also not so good feedback. Do you want to share on
Oh yeah,
that?
definitely. Oh, and before we get into that, I also wanted to say, because you mentioned about people coming back, we have found that there's a core audience that keeps coming back, and I think that's like really reassuring, especially with this part coming up that we're going to talk about, because I try to listen to feedback. I take the feedback and then I process it myself through the things that I want to do. And my beliefs and everything. So I try to do that. Like if it is something that is moving in a direction that I want to go in, then I make sure to incorporate that feedback. And usually it is. And so what I've found is that there's definitely a core group of people that already see the Creative Spark Summit as like a quality event that they can keep coming back to, which is great. So then that brings us to, obviously, it would be fantastic if every, piece of feedback we got was positive. And the nice thing is, in still saying that as we have continued, like now we're on the fifth one, as we continue to go on, we get less of the, not so shiny feedback, like you said. So in the first one, I mean, I would expect that. It was the first time I ran it. There was a lot I didn't know, a lot of systems and things that we were first trying out. You know what I mean? There was a lot of potential for things to either go wrong or not go so smoothly or whatever. And even with that, the summit had a really good reception. We did have feedback like, people, this is feedback that comes in all the time. I think this time around we only got one person or two people that said this. People will be like, oh, but I want to have 48 hours to watch this instead of 24, or I want to have like the whole weekend to watch this instead of 24 hours.
And
And
buy
so,
the VIP ticket.
right. Well, that's
That's
the
always an
first.
option.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why the option is there. And so people always, think there's several different reasons why the 24-hour model is the one that we stick with. First of all, obviously, like this was all taught to me, right? But there are reasons why the 24 hours, and this comes from a direction that I've moved into very much, is the taking action part. Yes, we could give you a whole week to watch all this, then you won't. And you know that from experience, because when you have something available to you for longer, you put it off because you're like, oh, I have another couple of days and another day. And I know for a fact, like if we were to extend it, it'll turn into a week is not long enough now. Like I need 2 weeks, or now I need a month. So 24 hours. For some people, they think it's like too much. It is designed to force you to pick. We are not expecting you to watch seven presentations in 24 hours. I personally think like you could fit them in because we try to keep them like 30 minute, we anywhere from 20 to 40 minutes. You could fit them in for free, right? But it's not designed for you to watch every single one. You should go in there, and that's why we have a quiz. I spend some time on that quiz. There's a quiz for you to go in and see what presentations you should watch. Then there's this last summit, I created a summit roadmap so that you could
Oh, that
go.
was beautiful. Yeah, that PDF.
And that one, I created what are called spark points. So you should go in and see where you are in your product creation journey. That's very specific to my summit. Where you are, and then I listed the presentations that you could watch. And all those presentations are not happening on the same day, they're sprinkled throughout. So then you can go in there and say, okay, there's seven presentations, and there's three on this day, two on this day, and whatever, three on the other day. So you don't have to say, I'm going to watch every single presentation every single day. If you know that you love the summit already, and because you've already been here a couple times, and you're like, you know what? I know that this is a good summit and the presentations are good. That's why the Spark Pass is there. So it's really designed. It's free. You can totally access the presentations for 24 hours. You can sample it. And then when you decide this stuff is good, then you can say, I'll buy the Spark Pass. And then that's why when I originally started, there was only one option for the Spark Pass, the premium one. And I got a lot of feedback that some people were like, I can't, it's not accessible to them. Like, so they needed a lower tier option. And we added that in. And it added a lot of admin, you know, work on our end. But I wanted to offer that as an option as well, because I do like it being accessible. So now there's two options. You can say, I'm going to do just the videos, or I'm going to do the videos and the bonuses and the extra stuff that's in the other one. So I do try to provide options. So when I get that feedback, again, it has come down a lot. Like I only got like two comments about it being, you know, how they wanted it for 48 hours. And another person said they wanted it for a whole weekend. I think the other thing is, if you really appreciate the work, then also remember that if you're coming in through an affiliate link, if you're coming in through a speaker, whatever, when you purchase, those people are also getting compensated for your purchase, and they're sharing in the profit that is made from that Spark Pass. So you're paying them for the work that they're giving you. So that's also something that I think should be recognized. So, you know, I don't know, what do you think about it? Because you've been a speaker, and you've been on the other end where you're also an attendee.
So as an attendee, I am someone who needs a timer, definitely. And I literally have a physical timer right here on my desk. I have a physical timer. I have a timer that I use on my phone. I need a timer for pretty much everything. Like I always say, like even for cleaning, I will set a timer for 20 minutes. And I will tell myself, I'm going to do this load of laundry in 20 minutes. Right. And if you tell me that I have 48 hours to watch like a day's worth of presentation, I'm not going to do it. Because if I'm not going to do it in 24, I'm not going to do it in 48. So it helps me knowing that I have a set amount of hours to watch something. So that's why I don't think, I don't get worried when people say, oh, I wish I had more time. No, you don't. No, you don't. You know, we promote these things almost a month in advance. You can put it in your calendar.
Yeah.
You know it's happening. Pick one or two presentations and that's it.
Right. If you really are like, I can't pay for this, you have the option to be there for free. And it's a really good option. I started also including the workbooks too. And the workbooks are really good. We got a lot of comments about the workbooks this time around. And those are also available for the same 24 hours, and they're there. And usually people will be like, oh, I miss downloading it. I'm not going to like be like, no, you can't have it. You know, I'll give it to people. So there's a lot of content that's there for free. Even the live Q&As are super valuable. Like people love those. And those stay up the entire time that the group is open, and it's still open now. So like you can go back and watch that. And then again, like if you're like, I really like this content, it was really good and helpful, that's what the Spark Pass is for. Cause then you can go back. For me, a lot of the presentations that we have are about actually creating and designing and whatever. Those are the type of presentations that you want to go back to again, because sometimes you're like, what was it that they said? You know what I mean? Like, so you want to go back to them again. And that's why it's there. And then also when you think about it, I know some people are like, my summit is the premium Spark Pass is $67. And some people are like, that's too expensive for me. But when you think, and I always forget too, because I'm like, I'll forget. I put in the bonuses, and I think the bonuses this time were like around $600 to $800. I can't remember. But then you also put a price on the actual presentations, and the creative sessions. It ends up being like, I think Lucia had said it was between 1500 and 2000. I can't remember which number. So let's say the lower one, just $1500 worth of value for $67 is insane. Insane. So it's just like one of those things where, I don't know. I don't know how to present it in a way where you see it when you buy the Spark Pass, when you attend the sessions, you would see there are some times where it's one session by itself is worth the $67. And then you still get more on top of that.
I was going to say sometimes that's all you need is you are drawn to a particular presentation and you get that thing you need that will move you forward, whether you paid for it or not, which brings me to pricing because your summit is one of the ones that are a little bit more pricier than others. I've seen summits that are like $20, $30, and I've also seen like $100
Oh, yeah.
summits.
There's even more than that.
Yeah, but speaking specifically about our niche and the people that we hope to reach, it's kind of in the higher end of things. Do you think in terms of the quality of people that come in and how they plan to use what they learn, has it been a good thing for you, to charge a little bit more versus have you been maybe thinking, oh, I should have charged 30 instead of 67? Has that ever even crossed your mind?
Yes, that crossed my mind in the beginning because I arrived at 67 because I was actually when I presented this again and I took a course to teach me how to run the summit because I'm like you, like if I didn't have instructions on how to do it would have never have happened. So I was advised based on what I include in the Spark Pass, I was advised to make my Summit Pass $97.
Oh, so it was even higher.
Yeah, that's what I was advised. And I was like freaking out. I was like, there's no way. Like I know that the audience would never be like, yeah, I'll pay 97. So maybe some people would, because some people have said to me, this pass is worth more than 67. And after the 67 is the fast action price. So the next, if you don't get in right away, once you register, if you don't get that price, the early bird price is 97. And people do buy it at 97. And this time around, I had sales at 147 because like the regular price of it is 147. Most people will buy at 67, but 147 is the main price. But if you think about it, that is still 10% of the value that you get. So at the full price, 147, it is just below 10% of the value that you get. So at 67, it's even better than that. It's like 5% is what you're paying. So you're essentially getting a 95% discount on all the value that you get. Even so, I was very nervous to put it out at 67. And I did get that feedback where people were like, this is too expensive. This is too expensive. And that's why we added that second tier. But my thing is, what I have found is when you have something that's a little more on the expensive end, obviously you have to back it up with quality and the actual content and value because, if you put in, you put on a like a crappy event, nobody's going to want to pay $67 for that. But if you back it up with quality and value and all the things, you start to attract people who are very serious about the thing that you're talking about. So this summit is specifically about learning how to make product design. So usually it'll be, we say digital product design specifically, but we've been moving also into physical product design because it's so easy to take digital designs and turn them into, POD products and physical products and stuff like that. So you're getting both of those together, which is super powerful. And so we're getting people who are a lot more serious because If you go in here and you look at this as an investment and not just a, you know, I'm just spending money, mm-hmm. and you're saying this is an investment in my business, it is different. When you say for $67, I'm getting over $1,500 worth of resources, that's a great deal when you think about it that way. And the other thing that we've added a lot more of, and again, this is from feedback from the attendees, is a lot more mindset stuff. Like, it always started out that way. I wanted to include mindset, but we, this time around, I put a lot of mindset stuff in there.
I noticed that. That was going to be my next question. I noticed that, definitely. Yeah.
Yeah. That was really powerful. Because a lot of people need that. I think being an online creator or an online business owner can get really lonely.
And I think it comes from our passion and our emotional wellness being so tied to our business.
Yeah.
That we get emotionally tired. Then we start seeing our passion as a chore, as something else that we need to do. So when I saw that included in this summit, I'm like, oh, so it's not just me.
No.
You feel included in that sense.
Yeah. And it's definitely something that I always included in, even in the first one. It all happened. The Creative Spark Summit is trying to take a break and using creativity to recharge yourself, because that's what I do. This was a response to all the COVID loneliness, you know. That's when this first happened. I was like, people were so depressed and overwhelmed and burnt out. And I'm like, what do I do when I feel that way? And I'm like, oh, I get creative. That's what I do. So I was like, what if we teach people how to do creative things to help them like cope with the burnout and the loneliness and all that stuff? Because there are tons of studies, and I talk about it in the videos and the welcome stuff. There are a lot of studies about creativity and the effect that it has on your brain. It induces like dopamine, it releases dopamine, and it helps with depression. It helps with a lot of different things. So when you think about it that way, you're doing something for yourself, but you're also then learning a new skill that you can just write, like recycle into your business, which is like the best thing. Like that you can like hit, you know, two things at once is great. Like, I like being efficient.
Exactly. So to round up this conversation, I'm going to ask you one more question, and I'm going to answer also that question. I think it's what we all want to know. Number one, you as a host, you'll answer it as a host. I'm going to answer it as a speaker. Number one, is it profitable for you in terms of literal money in the bank?
Mm-hmm.
And is it worth it in terms of growing your audience? Because I think as a speaker and as a host, what we hear is that summits will make you money and will grow your audience. So I want to know, is that true for you as a host?
Mm-hmm.
Me as a speaker, I would say yes to both. Yes, it is profitable for me because I am an affiliate. So I make money from those who sign up and purchase. So yes, number one, it is profitable for me. And also, my audience does grow. I do see new people. I do see growth every single time. Mm-hmm. And for me, and I know I've said that before to you, is the replies that I get from the new people. They will send me emails being like, oh my God, I just discovered you. I just watched your presentation. I love you. I love everything. I love the template. And I'm going to be here forever. That feels good to me. And I know I have sent you screenshots before.
Yeah.
I left you messages. So to me, yes to both, totally worth it. How about you as a host?
For me, yeah, I think for me, it actually changed my whole business, to be honest with you. Because when I started doing the summit, I was actually originally going to do a summit on brand and web design, because that's what I do for client work. But I, and a lot of people know this, I had an Etsy shop where I had, it was a letterpress stationery shop. I've always loved stationery, just designing stationery, printing it, selling it, like the whole thing. So when I discovered digital products, I'm like, this is fantastic because I can design all sorts of stationery. And then with POD sites and drop shipping sites and all that, like coming into the market and becoming so popular, I can design all this stuff and get it printed out and made like super simple and then put it on an Etsy shop. And that's what I'm doing. So like it turned my thing around because what happened for me was when I was doing my stationery shop on Etsy, my kids were little and I was still doing branding and web design for clients. It was a lot to handle. So I did a cross country move and I put my shop on vacation mode and I never opened it back up because I was like so exhausted. And not because it wasn't doing well, it was doing well. I actually made income from that store. It was like a nice salary, you know, but I was exhausted from it. And so I was like, I'm going back to just digital client work and that's it. But I love designing stationery. And so I came back to that. And with the summit, it just woke it up even more because everybody asking for help with digital product design was like, I can help with that. I do that, you know, I love that. And so it turned me around like completely to helping people with that. And the summit is one of the biggest impacts of the summit is visibility. It allows, because it's such a big thing, it allows you to, because I don't know about you, like I'm introverted. I don't like the spotlight being on me,
Oh,
but
same.
it's very, yeah, it's very, it's much easier for me to be like, hey, I'm marketing the Creative Spark Summit. And with the summit, like there's 19 other people aside from me. So I don't feel like the spotlight is just on me, even though I'm the host. I feel like there's a group of people with me and we're putting this on together. And so it doesn't feel as scary. And I think that's the biggest thing, the visibility, because once you're visible, once people know that you are there, I think that's the problem that we have with everything, right? If people don't know your website is around, if people don't know your shop is there, they have no way to discover you. So for me, the summit was a way for people to discover me. And then obviously if you're a good human being and you have good design and you put good things out into the world, people are going to like you and what you do. Like that's what happens with you. When people find you, people love you. And everybody tells me the same thing. Yatsia is so great. Yatsia,
Oh, that's so
Ali.
nice.
You, yeah, it's true. And so, and people love coming to your live. Like, that's why you see that with the lives too. People love connecting with people. So if you're a good person and you're putting good things out into the world, once you have the visibility, people are going to come to you and they're going to follow you and they're going to buy from you and the whole thing. So I think the summit is profitable on its own. For me, it's definitely profitable on its own. But even beyond that, because it totally expands the reach that you have, the visibility, and obviously the profit, because then people find out that you're there and they're not just buying the summit. Now people are joining the lab or they're buying individual products from you or whatever it is. So it's really, for me, it's also really rewarding in terms of also getting people discovered who might not have had a platform. You know, like I try to look for speakers that are not necessarily teachers or comfortable with that. And if you're willing to, people are going to follow you. If you're good at what you do and you show them how you do it, people are going to follow you. And so that's an extra rewarding part for me. Like I get to introduce new people to my audience, and that's really nice as well.
That is so great to hear. Thank you so much for sharing the not so shiny and also the good things that come with running a summit, which is a huge, huge job. And you do such a good job with it. Obviously, it's your fifth one. So hopefully we'll get to the 50th one
Oh my gosh.
at some
Thank
point.
you
I
so
mean,
much for
it's like
having
20
me.
years from now, right?
Right?
Hopefully
Yeah.
we're still around in
We'll
20 years.
see. 50. Oh my gosh. 50 of them. That'd be insane. That'd be fun. We'll see what we're doing then if we're
Definitely.
still doing digital products.
Exactly. What
Yeah.
are we going to see in 20 years? My God, with how much the online thing is changing
Changes.
these
Yeah.
days. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you for sharing all of that. Thank you so much for listening until the end. I hope you walk away with understanding a little bit better the back end of running events like big summits. And what is it like for a host? Make sure you are subscribed to this podcast because there are more episodes like this one coming on. See you on the next one. Bye-bye.